You're listening to Ben Davis Giants Football on WBDG, Indianapolis.
Hey, let's go! It's
going to be fourth down. Last play of the game, barring a penalty. It all comes down to this.
Victory will not be handed to you.
Tom Allen jumping up and down, getting everybody into it. One play.
Number one, Ben Davis Football is physical. Number one, Ben Davis Football is hit.
Who's going to go home?
All you seniors, will you let this be taken away from you? No, sorry. No way.
You must go seize the
moment.
It's
going to come down to the signal. Touchdown, Ben Davis. Touchdown, Ben Davis. The Giants win.
I am honored every day to put on something that says Ben Davis Football. I am honored.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of Inside Ben Davis Football. I'm your host, David Mills, and I'm joined today by John Easter, Jeff Robinson, and of course, Coach Kirshner. And we're in the studio today here at Ben Davis High School, and we got Reggie with us, and he's doing the producing, so thanks for that. How are you guys doing today?
Doing great. Obviously, getting set for a big game Friday night, and got some girls basketball following this tonight, so we have to be expedient here on Halloween.
It's time for that season to change, but fortunately, we still got Ben Davis football to keep us going, too.
Well, let's hope we can keep it going. Shout out to the girls' basketball team as they play the Irish tonight at Cathedral, and hope they get off on the right foot and start with a W.
Yep. All right, let's get started here. Tell us a little bit about last Friday's game against LC, Coach.
Well, it's LC played a great game. Bill Peebles, we knew they would. You know, we had a little bit of a rough couple weeks of practice. Had a lot of kids missing. You know, we were on fall break, didn't handle some things as well as we should have, and didn't get some things done like we should have. But we got there, and, you know, we scored pretty quick, and they answered that, and we scored pretty quick a second time, and they answered that, and then we got a safety and then a field goal, and kind of felt like we, up at 19-14, we had some things going, and they kind of threw a Hail Mary at the end of the half and got a third one. We were down 20-19 at half, first time we've trailed at halftime to anybody this season. So, you know, it was kind of a wake-up call. We took the kids in at halftime and made some adjustments, but the biggest adjustment we made was with their heads. We weren't playing smart football. We weren't playing our style of game. Lawrence Central was dictating some things to us because they're really good, especially on the defensive side when you got Michigan recruit McGrone playing linebacker and Dean, a Purdue recruit, and Bellamy, an ISU recruit. And so they were taking away some things from us. We just didn't handle some things very well. We weren't mentally focused like we should have been. We told our kids all week that, you know, even though we won 42-7 the first time, this game was not going to resemble that in any way, shape, or form. And it didn't, you know. I thought our kicking game was solid. I thought we did some good things. And I was really pleased with the way we handled the second half. You know, you're down 20-19 at half. All the momentum's, you know, Lawrence Central's way. They get the ball to start the second half. You know, if they go down and score, you don't know what's going to happen. But we were able to stop them. Offense ran a couple plays, gave it to Johnny Adams on a couple, and he scored. We got the lead back. And but probably the biggest and most disappointing thing last week was the number of penalties. I don't even know the number we had, but it was about 140 yards. We lost a touchdown from Reese Taylor. It was called back as a penalty. We lost another score in the third quarter that would have happened, but we got called for holding. It took us out of range. And literally penalties killed four offensive drives, and penalties also helped keep two of their drives alive. And so that was probably the most frustrating part. We had not had a penalty problem since early in the season, and we've got to get it fixed. It can't do it again.
We talked before the show last Tuesday, and this seemed to be some of the concerns you had going in. How many of the things that you were worried about did you really see?
All of it. That was the worst part. I mean, I worried about our kids' mental focus, and it was correct. We had to play some kids because we didn't play some kids because they either weren't at practice or hadn't been around, and had a kid on vacation all week last week, so he didn't play. And so our mental focus wasn't what it should have been. We weren't in school. You know, we can sit here and the 2-week fall break might be good for everybody that's not in athletics. But if you're in athletics, it's not. I'm just saying how I feel. It's not a good thing. We averaged 25 kids absent per day, every day during fall break from practice. either couldn't get rides, were out of town. Parents just decided they were going to go someplace, and I was going to have to live with it as a coach because they're going. They made the decision, whatever. And so that came to pass. And when you're not mentally dialed in, the penalties are usually what gets you because you're out of position. You're trying to overcompensate for something you really shouldn't have been in position to do anyway. And the next thing you know, we're in a bind. And so all my fears came to pass. The nice thing is we were able to rebound in the second half and take care of business second half and get back on the right side.
Coach, I was really impressed with the game plan that LC had. You talked about how well they played. Coach Peebles kind of put it all out there, didn't he?
Yeah, he did a great job. They moved 12, their best receiver, moved into a slot and got some mismatches on us. We had to make some adjustments in the second half for that. We did a much better job this time taking care of the run. We didn't do as well a job on the pass. And, you know, some of them are, I mean, we can sit here and dial it up, but, you know, the one pass that led to their third touchdown, I mean, he just chucked it, you know, and their kid out-jumped our kid. He made a better play. But his scheme, he put some kids in different places. He used some different things that kind of got him in some mismatch with us athletically that we had to adjust to at halftime. And, you know, and on defensively, they came out and said, you know what, we're just going to go after him. We're not going to sit back like we did the first time, let him throw it, run it. We're going to go get him. So he was bringing 5, 6, 7 guys on almost every play, and we didn't quite hit some passes. We had a couple drops that were very uncharacteristic. That you watch the film, both of them probably would have been touchdowns, and we didn't score on either one of them. If they just catch the ball, you know, now all of a sudden you score 2 more touchdowns, you're up, you know, 40-14 or 40-20, and you're not sitting here listening to all the critics say, well, Ben Davis has been exposed, and Ben Davis is ripe for getting beat, and they aren't what we thought they were, you know, that kind of thing. Well, I don't know. It sounds like a Dennis Green thing, you know. We are who they thought we were, you know. I don't know if anybody remembers the Vikings and the tirade he went on, but, you know, we got it handed to us a little bit, and you got to give credit to Lawrence Central and their coaching staff and their kids because they didn't come to lose. They came to keep their season alive.
All right, you kind of touched on it a little bit earlier with the 20-19 at half. Explain kind of like what the guys look like going into the locker room. You said you had to make an adjustment mentally with them. Were their heads down, or what was going through what was going on in the locker room then?
Yeah, I don't know if their heads were down. I think they were a little shocked would be probably the best word. You know, I don't think they thought they were going to lose at halftime, but it was almost like this isn't going like the first 9 weeks had gone for us, you know, and so I got them together and I said, you know, we kind of told you, you know, that this was going to be different, this game. So now we can either sit here and cry about it, or we can get up and take care of business and listen to your coaches and do what we're asking or had been asking you to do for 2 weeks that you just kind of slid by. It really just wasn't as important. And here's the thing, you know, with the next game coming up, if you don't fix this week in practice, which there were some good spots tonight and some bad spots tonight, but if you don't fix it, you'll be going home after next week. We just don't have that many opportunities left, and there is no more, you know, tomorrow, so to speak. You know, I was telling the kids tonight, if you get through this week, if you're lucky enough to survive, you've got exactly 12 practices left, and you're in the state championship. 12. We've practiced 70 times already this year, and you've got 12. You can't tell me you can't go hard for 12 practices. When you break it down, that and so then if you look back and say we'd have gotten beat Friday, how do you answer that? All right, if you're a kid playing for Ben Davis High School and you'd gotten beat Friday, which was very possible, how do you go back and look in the mirror and say I did everything? When you missed practices, you didn't come to practice like you were supposed to, you had some sort of excuse, you went on vacation, whatever, you can't then look at me and say I did everything, because no, you didn't, because a true champion does everything. They line up and they do it the best way they can every day, and there's never a question in their mind what they're going to do.
You had 9 straight weeks of really just building and building momentum. How much of an impact did having a bye come into play with that momentum?
Yeah, it does come into play because, you know, I know a bye is a good thing because it helps you get healthy. You know, you get your kids some weeks off, you get some extra training, you don't practice that bye week. We practiced 4 of the 5 days. We didn't bring him in on Saturday. They got a little bit of rest time. But at the same time, you get out of that mode of every Friday, here it comes, here it comes, here it comes. And this last 2 weeks, we've done this for several years now, but this is the first time that the fall break lasted the whole 2 weeks leading up to the tournament. Usually is the North Central game, and then the first week is the bye week. Then we're back in school, which is more of a routine for our kids. So like last year, we were getting ready to play Brownsburg in the first game, and we were back in school that week. We moved fall break for us back a week. In fact, I think we're the only school, us, Brownsburg, and Avon, that were still out. I think everybody else in the state of Indiana was back in school but us. And it's hard to get your kids to show up. We bring them in the morning. We try to keep them on a routine, but it's just hard to get them to dial in the same way, because they know they're going home at 11:30 in the morning on a Tuesday, and they got the rest of the day off to do whatever. And, you know, I'm kind of glad we're back in school and hopefully get back on a regular routine.
Do you feel anything has changed from that, from having that bye and being on break now that you are back in school?
Absolutely. They're here. I don't have, like today, I think I had of 148 kids, 10 through 12, I had two kids missing. Everybody else was in pads, on the field, practicing. We can do everything we want to do. I've got everybody out there. Everything's like it's supposed to be. So and from that standpoint alone, everybody knows everybody's here. There's not like, where's Joey today? Or where's Johnny today? Or where's Jimmy today? Where's whoever? Well, I don't know. They didn't call me. You know, we don't have that because they got to be in school now.
For this season, kind of looking back through the first 10 weeks, you started the year and, you know, people thought Warren Central, Lawrence Central, Ben Davis. I mean, people knew that those were the teams. Carmel, I think, was in that early discussion. Center Grove, obviously, the Mick was going to be strong, and it was. But as you progressed through the season, about the fifth week on, I would say, after you guys beat Warren Central, I think everybody's really looked at Ben Davis as separated from the pack. Do you feel like the team took that kind of attention and took what had been said about them, what had been printed, the national polls, and then you kind of look at the results even from those games where you weren't challenged really from a result standpoint? I think someone on one of the message boards said Ben Davis hadn't been tested all year, and I kind of spoke up for you on that. I was like, yeah, they've been tested, and they passed the first nine tests pretty handily. But, you know, I think after that fifth game, people looked at Ben Davis as, oh, well, you know, it's over. Might as well not play the rest of them. But when you play in the Mick, you obviously know that anybody, any team can rise up and beat you. Do you think the team kind of was buying into some of that? First of all, that's the first part of it. And then secondly, what do you think the team learned from that first half where you're down going in?
To answer your first question, I'm positive. I'd be shocked if the kids would tell you they aren't buying into what they're hearing or reading or seeing or people are saying. That they're 17. You know, they're 16, 17, 18-year-old kids who everybody's giving them that a boy and the pats on the back and telling them how great they are. And so you start, well, I am. No, you're not. So in that respect, the game we played Friday hopefully brings you down a notch and gets you to refocus. At least the first 2 days of practice, we've seen a different energy level on the field. I'm not saying we're mentally focused like we should be, but the energy level is up. Even though it's been brutally cold, yesterday was awfully cold out on the field. But they haven't dwelled on that. Last week we went outside on Tuesday and it was brutally cold, and you'd have thought I asked them to do something that was so un-American as to stand in the cold, you know. And, I mean, they were standing there with their hands all bundled up. Nobody wanted to practice. This week we haven't quite seen that. So you hope you got their attention. You hope so. But again, they're kids, you know, you hope they're starting to grasp the gravity of what's coming and that how it can be so final on Friday. It's interesting the way the tournaments are played, and they're tournaments. Basketball doesn't matter, that you work so hard, and here we are sitting here 10-0, and we have won a lot of games, and we've done well, and we've had a lot of success, and if it all ended Friday, that they shouldn't hang their heads, but you will, because in the end, there's only six teams out of the 323 that are happy when this is over. The other 317 are mad. There's just no other way. I'm mad. If we get beat Friday, I'm just mad. And then you got to deal with, all the, we could have done this. We could have done it. We should have, could have, would have. I don't know. So I'm hoping they realize what happened Friday wasn't an anomaly. It can be a fact. And if we don't fix it, it'll come to an abrupt end on Friday night.
I know last week you said that there's another gear that people haven't seen yet. Do you think that wake-up calls like this kind of jostle
I hope bit? So, because I didn't say that, to make people think we haven't been doing our job. We have, but there's more in there. And everybody's like, Lawrence Central's so much improved since the first time, and Pike is so much improved since the first time. Well, I think we've improved since we played week two and week three and week four. I think we've gotten better, but I still see things happening in practice that I think if we ever did that in a game, people would be like, wow, they can even do that. But we haven't quite gotten that, what I call mental focus buy-in, what really sets you up above the rest. And until you do, you're going to have to fight like you did Friday night.
All right. Anything else from you guys? All right. We're going to send it over here across the table to Reggie to give us a 1 minute break. All right. 1 minute break.
WBDG thanks Church's Chicken at 7224 West 10th Street for its support of this WBDG sports broadcast. Church's is open from 10:30 a.m. to 10:30 p.m. daily. Church's offers a variety of chicken, fish, wings, and side dishes, as well as snacks, finger foods, and honey butter biscuits. Church's Chicken can be reached at 317-644-0574. WBDG thanks Church's Chicken for its support of this sports broadcast. This WBDG sports broadcast is made possible by Build Your Future Indiana. 2 million skilled construction jobs are in demand nationwide. This increased demand means job security for those who are certified to work in construction. And 20% of the workforce will retire in the next 5 years. Starting wages for craft professionals range from $17 to $30 per hour. To find out how to go pro in construction, visit indiana.byf.org.
All right, Coach, let me ask you about this Friday's game against Warren, the Circle City Showdown. Tell us a little bit about how you guys are preparing and everything for this.
Well, obviously, we're playing a team that's on a roll. They've won five straight and won all five of them convincingly. Had a really good game with a team out of Detroit that's very athletic, very fast. Beaten Lawrence North handily twice. Beat a very good Pike team rather convincingly. And then beat a Carmel team up at Carmel. That, as we all know, Carmel's always good. So they're coming in having won five in a row. They've made some adjustments from the first time we played. They've doing some things offensively a little different. Defensively, they've changed up their scheme, and it's very good in what they're trying to do. And they're using their athletes in different ways that makes them very good. Their kicking game is solid. And as always, with a Jason West team, you're getting a very well-coached team. So it's going to be we're going to have to play four quarters. Whatever people saw week five, you got to kind of put that out. It's not going to be 75 degrees and T-shirt weather. And, the weather's going to be a little different. It'll be in the 50s. And, some of us, we've got some injuries. They've got some injuries. Some kids are out. They've got some kids out. And that kind of changes the dynamics of the game a little bit. So it's going to be a real interesting game.
You mentioned as far as in some ways you have to throw things out from that first matchup. Where do you think that Warren Central has made the most improvement?
We'll start on the offensive side. Jeff George is now healthy. Actually, it's Jaden George, Jeff's youngest son. He's now healthy. When we played him the first time, he had just come back the week before in the Lawrence Central game, so this was his second full game back. And I think they were trying to protect him. He's throwing the ball much better. His accuracy, he's got a gun for an arm. He throws it long distance. He's very accurate on the short throws. I think he's really found his rhythm, completing about 56% of his passes. I think he's doing really well. The other thing is, their old line's doing a great job. They're running. They got two running backs, 21 and 5, who I think are just fantastic, hard, physical runners. And then they've got probably arguably the best receiver in the state, and David Bell. Going into last week, and I don't know what he had last week. I know he had several, but I think he had 39 catches for almost 800 yards and six TDs. He's returned two or three punts for touchdowns, a kickoff for a touchdown. He's just very dynamic, very physical, very athletic. And then flip that over side. They've moved one of their corners back to safety. He's an Iowa commit, Jules Brent, which he's playing really well at safety. I love their three inside backers, 25, 34. They're very physical. 91 is one of the top defensive ends in the area, and they're playing more of a four-man front. The first time we played them, they played a lot of three-man front. They've gone back to their four-man front, and they're playing it very well. So they found their rhythm. They found what they wanted to do, and they're doing it well.
Now, whenever you look at what you know about them, are there things that you think that maybe you haven't seen from Warren Central that they may throw out there?
Always is. We worked on a couple of things tonight, but in 2014, we faced him here in the regionals. They opened up with a ball. We got a stop. They lined up the punt. Everything looked normal. But they had gone 11 guys off and 11 guys on, and the one guy kind of walked on and then walked back to the sideline. We didn't see him, and he's standing on the sideline. They take him and throw the ball, and it's first and goal at the one or five, and they go in and score, and we're down 7-0. So there's things like that that, you know, 2 years ago, was it 2 years? Last year, we were up there, and he opens up with a double pass on a kickoff and then a double pass on the second possession. We were down 14-0 5 minutes into the game and lost 35-34. And so there's going to be something like that that they're going to do. Some people call them trick plays. I don't think so, because Jason always does that. It's part of what they do, and we've got to be ready for that.
Obviously, the Warren Central-Ben Davis rivalry goes way back, and we talked about it before, almost kind of ad nauseum maybe to some, but it is a rivalry that goes all the way back to 1937, and they've obviously had huge games throughout the entire series. But recently, it seems like you're back to the point that maybe we were in the early 2000s, where either team can win either time they get on the field, whether it's the sectional. I think the sectional now, but back then it was regional. Mm-hmm. You had three or four meetings after the James Banks, I call it the James Banks play game, where James Banks took the ball, went over his head, and he ran it back for the touchdown. But when you look at that, I mean, it was a 27 to, I mean, they were off, there were 3 years, 3 or 4 years there where it was, you were just separated by a little, and then obviously they had their very good period over there at Warren. You guys have kind of got them in 2008 pretty handily. You look at the last meeting, obviously in 14, that was a great game, 40-36, you win. But even in the regular season, the games have been tied, except for the one earlier this year where you talked about Warren may not have had all their all the people that they wanted that were healthy. So you kind of gotten back at a place with this rivalry where it was in the early 2000s. Kind of talk about that.
Yeah, well, it has. You know, Kevin Wright, when he came in 2000, wanted to change the dynamics of Warren Central. And their goal was to get to the point where they were not just as good as Ben Davis, but better. And it kind of started to change in about 2002. We lost to him in the regular season in overtime, beat him in the regionals in overtime. Then 2003, we lost to him in the regular season, lost in the regionals 2003, 27-20. We were still kind of there. There wasn't that separation. 2004, we lost to him in the regionals again, 27-26. You know, kind of felt like we were there. And then 2005, it started to get away from us a little bit. 2006 was the year they were just dominant. I mean, that was one of the greatest teams ever. You know, they beat us in the regionals that year, 42-7. Then we didn't see them in 7. Then in 08, we got them. And then in 14, we got them. And then in between years, we either didn't match up or they got beat or we got beat before we got there. So they've had some great teams. We've kind of balanced it back out a little bit. You know, it's still a toss-up game. I don't know that you can sit there and say, well, they've lost this many and you haven't lost, so you're a whatever point favorite. I don't think you can look at it. I really think there's no favorite, whoever shows up and plays the best on Friday night.
You know, John Harrell who does the score predictions and bases it on computers and games won. And I mean, he's got his own method of doing it. And he's always very accurate, but he predicts a 5-point game on Friday night. So yeah, it's going to be a good one. I think, obviously, I think he said 35-30.
Yeah.
He's predicting. So
no, it will be.
I think it'll be something along that lines. But and also, even though Warren leads the overall series, I think 55-33, and with three ties, it's dead even in the tournament going back. And a lot of those games have been classics.
Yeah.
All right. Any more questions from you guys?
Well, we still.
Well, I know you kind of wanted it to be like, you know, kind of tight on the time. Great. All right, so we're still good? All right.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'll get back
over here. We still got 5 minutes.
All right. All right, so you said the weather is going to probably play effect and stuff in here, and there's a bunch of other things like the injuries and stuff that are changing. You said they're on a 5-game win streak, but we've, you know, been undefeated and everything. But coming off of last week's game, how do you prepare the guys mentally, or can you prepare them mentally, or do you just kind of leave it up for them to just kind of like find it inside themselves to stay focused, you know, like, because they did beat them pretty, you know, pretty good earlier this year. How do you keep them focused to like keep their head on straight so they don't have another close game like they did last week?
Well, kind of, you know, we started with them on Saturday. You know, we got them in the film room Saturday after their workout Saturday morning and said, all right, you know, what'd you think? You know, when you guys went home Friday night, did you feel good? I mean, you should have felt good. A win's a win's a win. And wins are hard enough to come by the way it is in our league. And so you should feel good about the win, but were you happy with that? And the answer was no. Resounding to a man across the board, nobody was happy when they sat there and watched that film with the penalties and the miscues and the blown assignments and doing our own thing. You know, their last touchdown, we were in four deep. I should have had a safety in a corner sitting over the top of that guy, and my safety's running up and playing a 10-yard route with 14 seconds to go, when if he just stays deep, they don't catch the ball, they don't score, we're up 19-14 at half. Next thing you know, we scored, start second half, it's 26-14, then it goes to 34-14, and you're just kind of done, you know, and you're kind of doing the things you've always been doing, but we didn't do that. So you hope it's a wake-up call. You don't know. You know, I feel like so far our first 2 days in practice, even though they need to be much better, have been more focused mentally on what we're trying to do and what we're trying to accomplish and what we have to take away in order to be successful, and then what we have to be able to execute on the offensive side against what they're going to take away in order to be successful. And then we've got to gain an advantage in the special teams. You know, we've got to find a way. Their special teams are solid, very good. Their kick returners, and David Bell and Romero Elliott are phenomenal. Two of the best we've seen all year, if not the best. But we got to find a way to take advantage of that, if at all possible.
The last time these two teams were on the same field, you brought both these teams together to talk after the field about some off-the-field issues that had impacted both sides. How do you think the players on both sides have responded to the inspirational message that you really gave all the players on the field?
Yeah, well, it was a combination of me and Jason getting together and doing that together. Coach West is a great guy. The message was bottom line, was about letting the kids know that there's people out there that care for them. We don't have to resort to people dying to get somebody to stand up and do the right thing, and we can take it upon ourselves to do the right thing. As players, as coaches, as people, we can take it upon ourselves to do the right thing when it's supposed to be done and how it's supposed to be done. You know, I don't know. I don't know how my kids have responded. You know, I don't know how much are actually listening to me. You know, we had another tragedy here just recently, you know, with a family here on our side of town, and it's shame that we care so little for human life that we're willing to take somebody's life. I struggle with it. You know, I had some coaches from other high schools out watching our practice today, and we were talking about that it's become epidemic. You know, I struggle because I don't know what the answer to the problem is. I don't know that there is an answer, and I don't know how we reach people to solve the problem. And until we decide to quit worrying about who's at fault and who's to blame and realize it's just time to stand up and take our kids back in our arms and realize they need to be at home and not running around, and they need to know where they're at. And if the kid don't like it, tough. You know, that's kind of my message. You know, parents, they got to stay home. It's okay. It's okay for them not to be out at midnight. It just is. It wasn't okay for me. It's not okay for them.
Yeah, that was definitely a beloved message, and it reached a lot of people on social media and everything. So, and we all appreciated you when you came out and did that. But any more questions from you guys? All right, we're going to send over to you, Coach, real quick for your last little spill on Friday's game.
Purple Rain must have been on fall break last week because I didn't see him. As Kevin Britt used to say, purple fizzle sometimes, you know, not rain, just a little drizzle. But we're back in school now. You got nothing else to do on a Friday night. Halloween's over as of in about, I don't know, another hour and a half or so. Let's get out there. It's going to be a good night for football. And come watch these guys play. They deserve your cheering and your roaring, and we really appreciate it when you're there.
All right, you heard it from Coach. Come support the Ben Davis Giants. Okay, so next week we'll have the same at 7 o'clock inside Ben Davis football, and this will be replayed on Friday night before the game. And, yeah, so this is a good show. We're going to send it back to Reggie across the table to send us over and end the edition of Inside Ben Davis Football.
This has been a presentation of the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.